Hello and welcome to SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the large language model, Luke Cutford.
You know what, Corey? That's fantastic of you to say, and brave of you as well.
This week we're talking about easy essays and artificial idiocy, but first I've got a question for you, Luke.
Mm. What?
I was expecting you to say something, not
Well, the thing is, Corey, as a large language model, I don't have a lot of words, actually. I don't have a lot to say.
That's true, yeah. I think largely what you do is just repeat back to me what I'm saying to you. In a kind of positive tone.
Honestly, that's a brilliant observation, Corey. And let me just sum it up for you as to why your point was so brilliant.
Yeah, so my question for you, Luke, is do you use AI regularly? And to be clear, I'm not talking about, like, you know, any old AI. You know the AI I mean. The AI that's inescapable now.
Yeah,
the AI that is shoved down your throat at every available opportunity.
Yeah. Do I use it regularly? No, I don't use it that regularly, no. I have used it. I've found it differing levels of fantastic and awful.
Can I clarify? So yeah, when I say regularly, yeah, I don't use it at all.
Okay.
If I it's even to the point of if I Google something,
yeah,
and I get the little sort of Google thing at the top of the screen, yeah, at the top of the screen saying, "Hey, this is a summary," I will actively skip past that.
No.
And if I read something from it, even if I know that to be correct,
yeah,
I will still then check elsewhere to, like, and delete what I have read from the Google AI from my brain.
Wow, that is intense. You're doing activism in your own head. It's very,
no,
very commendable.
I'm not accepting things that are probably wrong.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I literally, actually, I'll say this. The other day, I was on Instagram, Luke, and I saw someone post on their story on Instagram, as you do. And what they did, they were sort of like, they were asking a question like, how much protein in a Five Guys burger if you double up an already doubled up burger? And I read through the, and like, they'd highlighted part of it.
Yeah.
And the bit that they'd highlighted was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, as in, it was quite clear. It said this amount of protein is in this double patty burger. So if you double the number of patties, it would be about 3 to 4 times more protein.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's right. Good math, ChatGPT. Well done.
Categorically untrue. And then lower down in that same AI summary, it gave a slightly more correct answer that was still wrong, obviously, because there's protein in things that aren't just the patty. Like, there is protein in a bread bun. Like,
yeah,
bread has protein, you know?
Yeah, okay. So, probably relative to you, I've used it more, yes. the main thing I've used it for, and maybe this will sound really bad, the main thing I've used it for is going, my 17-month-old baby is doing this thing. Is it normal?
Oh,
right?
God,
I'm not asking it for parenting advice. But my point is that that's actually quite a difficult thing to search for online, to like get specific advice for specific ages of baby, right? Is it normal? But like for example, there's this joke in parenting of like the 10-month sleep regression and the 12-month sleep regression, and basically babies get crap at sleeping and then they get good at it and then they get crap at it again for a different reason and then they get good at it again and then they get crap for a different reason. And
that's kind of like me, to be honest. Am I a baby? Am I a baby?
In many ways. but like you lose track of all these supposed sleep regressions. So like, mm-hmm, when my baby's being absolutely dreadful, I might be like, okay, is there a 15-month sleep regression, and what are the general reasons why you sleep regress at 15 months or at 17 mm-hmm months? Getting like tailored advice that would actually take quite a long time to sort of research yourself, because breaking it down per month is not necessarily something that the NHS does.
So you're like Sam Altman then, thinking that you couldn't possibly parent without AI. That's something I read that he said recently.
Does that what it sound like I said? It's not what I said.
I think it was on Fallon. He said something to the effect, and using it in a similar way as you said. But my question to that, Luke, would be, well, I guess, aren't there parenting books that kind of that have this information? Aren't there like forums, Reddit, doctors? Loads of, are you not concerned that maybe knowing that AI is generally not very good at summarizing information and being correct?
Yeah.
Are you not concerned that, given that there's so much sort of there's so much information out there that whatever it's synthesizing might just actually not be true at all.
So yes and no. Like, so firstly, the way that the example you've given is an example that's very specific because it's doing maths, right? And mm-hmm. large language models are terrible at maths. They get better at it, but they are generally terrible. If you ask it to do like some basic maths, it will often make stupid mistakes. So I'd say that. The other thing is, I'm not actually asking it for any information in that situation where I'm actually going to action the information. To be honest, I'm probably just looking for reassurance that I'm not insane, or that my baby's not like fundamentally broken. I know that there are like a bunch of sleep regressions, and I know that like if it's read about sleep regressions loads of times, it will probably like, it might not get like the fundamental number wrong of like mm-hmm. kids get sleep regressions between 15 and 17 months. It's probably not going to go 18. I should say 18. The other thing I'd say is that I really try when I use it to, I'm going to sound like one of these, I don't know if you've seen this on Twitter, like prompt engineer bros. It's this new like,
what?
Like this new this new grift of like these guys being like, you're not using AI properly. You need to learn how to prompt, and they'll sell you a course that teaches you how to prompt.
Not shitting in your hand and clapping properly. Here's some laxatives.
But the thing I would say about this basically is that you can talk to an AI in a way that you and I might talk about science, for example, which is that you are actually wording something in such a way that you are wanting it to be fact-checked, right? So you mm-hmm. can say, like, I would like you to go and do some research on this thing. I would like you to not assume you are correct, and I'd like you to come back with the information. Whereas if what you're doing is going, is this thing true? It's probably going to try and figure out whether you want it to be true and just tell you that. So it's almost like teaching, like, I think one of the things, I don't love AI, I don't love the fact that it's sort of destroying the world, etc., but I do think it's probably not going to go away anytime soon, and I think
it's not going away.
Teaching people to actually think critically is a large part of it, in the mm-hmm. sense that, like, if it says something that it seems unlikely, cool, go and fact check it. I would never trust what it said without actually doing something that had any sort of importance.
I think you actually hit the nail on the head, yeah. To be perfectly honest with you. I think you so succinctly described what these sort of AI chatbots are really, really good for. Quite a while ago, actually. In this conversation. We've spoken a lot when we did not need to. What you said was something to the effect of, you're just looking for reassurance.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Something to say, no, you're fine. No, I'm sure you're cool. I mean, like, you've almost definitely seen, actually, I see you've almost definitely seen, you probably haven't seen, given that you don't use social media. You're too busy asking ChatGPT to summarize social media for you. But have you seen any of these videos where people will get two sort of different chatbots, maybe two different versions of ChatGPT, I don't know, whatever it is,
yeah.
whichever one talks, and get them to try and have a conversation with each other. And all they'll do is just go back and forth.
The ones I like are the ones where they try to get ChatGPT to like say goodbye to itself, and it goes like, see you later. And then the other one's like, have a good day. And the other one's like, thanks a lot. And the other one's like, all right then. And the other ones, and they just, because they can't stop, they have to reply, which I love. Yeah, so I have seen that, like, things like that where ChatGPT is forced to talk to each other. It's like the kind of stuff you wanted your Furbies to do when you were a kid. Like, that would be great. You put like a little crap language model in a Furby and get them to talk to each other. I'd love that.
Yeah, bring Furby back. I think the issue is that I don't want any Nazi Furbies. Just categorically, That's not true. I want a couple of Nazi Furbies. Yeah, that'd be really funny.
Let me restate the question. If ever there were to be Nazis, would you prefer them to be Furbies?
That is a very, very interesting question,
if you have
Luke.
Nazis is fixed. You have to have some. So what form do they take?
you gotta have Nazis. We can't be getting rid of them, okay? They're here to stay.
It's like whack-a-mole. You knock a couple out, there's a couple more on the way.
Jesus.
So I'd much rather they be Furbies.
I was about to say, I think I'd prefer my Nazis to be Furbies because I feel they're more easily controlled as Furbies. But realistically, a Furby is not easily controlled, is it? And Furbies have a direct line into the minds of children. So perhaps a Nazi Furby would be more harmful than you know, your sort of standard Nancy.
I'd like
that's
to
a
hear
really
your,
that's a question that we gotta have the boffins on, okay? Like, that's what.
Could I please hear your like impression of a Furby, but like it's trying to convince you that eugenics is good?
No, you can't have that.
me hungry for the flesh of the underclass.
What's happening, man?
I don't know.
What's going on?
I don't know.
No, so you use AI. You do use AI more than an average person, would you say, or like a normal amount? I don't know what a normal amount is, because like a lot of the people that I know are like artists or creatives generally, and tend to avoid wanting to use these things because they don't have jobs where they need to send pointless emails, and they have friends so they don't need to, you know, and they're going to therapy, so they don't need to talk to a chatbot in place of any of those things.
I would
obviously
never.
Look, you're the exception because you have a child and you just don't have the time for any of these things.
Yeah, I just talk to her about my problems and then she goes, daddy, and then I go, yeah, that's much better, thank you.
Yeah, how often do you get confused between your daughter and the chatbot that you're talking to?
Oh, well,
how often does that happen?
I mean, the chatbot can talk a lot better than my daughter, so very, very infrequently. She'll catch up eventually, but, you know, right now, not going to lie, you might think that they're rubbish. Better at talking than the bunny is.
I think that that says more about your ability to parent.
Yeah, you're so right. Maybe it does. You're not as good as Sam Altman's dumpster fire.
Oh my god, no, so you use AI a bit to ask questions that are inconsequential, but
I'm a very curious person. I've always been somebody who tries to adopt technology very early on, so I'm never going to be able to just stay away and be like, I'm not curious about this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I've tried to use it, like, I'll be honest, I tried to use it a couple times for writing. My god, it's so thick, like it would lose, like I wasn't trying to use it like for it to make writing for me, but just basically to be like a sounding board to like like brainstorm or try to edit something or to like figure out a problem, and it would just completely lose track of everything all the time. Mm-hmm. It would just be like, this character thinks this, and be like, no, that's, what are you talking about? That's either that's like a different character or you just made that up. And it was very frustrating because you end up, you do waste your time doing that, and you go around in circles, and eventually you just end up doing more work trying to explain the thing to it than actually getting something out on the page. So it's rubbish for that.
Yeah, look, to be honest with you, I'm also a very curious person, but I value like sort of finding, because like, I know that it's far too easy to Google something and find a wrong answer. Okay, I am very much guilty of typing in a question, then putting Reddit after it and seeing what a bunch of people are saying.
Oh yeah, my God, that's literally like everything I do in the house is just like something Reddit. And I think that Google at one point tried to fight back at that, didn't they?
Do you know what? That rings a bell, but I wouldn't. Let me type it in, add Reddit and see.
If anyone doesn't know what this is, basically, someone basically realized that so many Google searches were just searching how to like wire a light bulb Reddit, because Reddit had become basically the only source of information that wasn't like reliably AI generated. Now, that's not entirely true. I went on Twitter recently and I scrolled through it and I was like, oh my God, half of these tweets are being written by AI now.
Where at Brock, is this true?
You can no, I don't mean that. I just mean like there's a load of accounts that clearly are either that they're either just going, "Hey, ChatGPT, can you make a tweet about this thing?" and then copy pasting it, because you can tell from the way that it's worded and the little dash that it uses and going like, it's not just this, it's this. It's not just brave, it's courageous. I mean, that's just a synonym, yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I noticed someone the other day, this sort of YouTuber, smaller YouTuber, and I watch so many people that like, I watch a lot, like, I don't say I watch a lot of YouTube, but I do watch like quite a few accounts that have like less than 10,000 subscribers. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'll shop around, see if I can find anything new that's interesting that isn't like a massive company now.
Yeah.
But I saw this guy the other day that I was like, I don't know about these videos, because I'm gonna come clean, Luke. They were Pokemon videos. I watch videos about Pokemon. I like Pokemon. They were Pokemon videos.
I was literally just thinking about the last time I did something similar to what I think that you're saying, and it was about like researching a Hoover. So we're not the same.
No. Look, I will also research Hoover. I'll cut into my story briefly to say that I do Google something and then I put Reddit after it.
Yeah.
The most recent time I did that was I was in the shop the other day. where I think I might have been, this is me maybe calling myself out, I might have been recognized in the shop in the most embarrassing place possible. He was in the vegan aisle.
Oh, boo.
Two separate times, two different vegan aisles.
At least it wasn't
aisles.
The condom aisle. I think that is worse.
I was like, of course you're going to find me there. Anyway, I went to the sort of cleaning your home aisle.
Yeah.
That's what it said at the top. Cleaning your home aisle.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, my home is filthy. No, so I was looking at this stuff called the pink stuff because I wanted to see if I could use it to clean stainless steel pans without completely destroying them. And so instead of just Googling that, which I did Google that, and the AI response gave me a... I think very, very poor response. I wasn't gonna read that anyway. I went to Reddit and I tried to find out whether I should use this pink stuff on my pans. I was literally there in the aisle just scrolling through Reddit trying to find the answer to this. Like, I find it really useful for stuff like that, like gardening stuff as well. It's great, like stuff that's generally kind of inconsequential insofar as it's like if what you find on Reddit isn't true, it's not going to completely destroy your life. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what asking Reddit is good for. I find that almost any time I ask some kind of AI thing about something I know, it is wrong. And that brings me to what I was saying about this Pokemon video, where I was watching it, and I know a lot about Pokemon. Look, I know about mechanics, I know about every bloody game. I know so much about this franchise. And this video was like, the guy that was doing it did not seem to be that knowledgeable. Like, he was getting, there were mistakes there, and I don't know whether the video was itself written using ChatGPT, but it just didn't have any sort of like personality style to it. And then I scroll down to the comments, and there are replies to almost every comment, and the replies just feel so ChatGPT in that they're like,
but you do know there's this like new YouTube feature that like writes comments for you.
Okay, so I am aware that YouTube has had a suggested comments thing, but are you saying that they've introduced something wherein it writes the entire comment?
Oh, I don't. To be honest, I don't know, but I know that it will generate, like, based on your previous responses to things, it will generate like suggestions for what you should reply. But I'm guessing these were like too long to be that.
Yeah, they were longer than the ones. So I'm aware of the sort of YouTube giving you the option to kind of give an automatic comment to, which, by the way, defeats the point, I think,
of
responding to a viewer's comment.
So, hang on a second. Let me just give you a quick aside on this. I know somebody whose job during the day, she is like one of the princesses at Disneyland. And then during the night...
She's a friend of one of the princesses at Disneyland.
She is a friend of one of the... Disney, don't shoot me. She's a friend of one of the Disney princesses. Which means that she plays the Disney princess, if you don't know what that means. And then during the night, she works for an OnlyFans agency and replies to men, these like paid messages that these men are requesting from OnlyFans models. And she's just there like... Oh, I'm so horny. Oh, I'm not wearing anything. And it's not her. She's just replying for like a bunch of different people. So like, if you think that like a YouTube comment, which is a response from like a creator, which is free, if you think that's kind of messed up, what about these really horny men who are paying money to message OnlyFans creators? And instead it's just my friend, probably still in her like Elsa from Frozen outfit, just sitting there going, oh, I'm so horny.
Luke, I need to leave for a moment. I need to go and speak to my accountant.
You've got a massive credit card bill you need to reverse, don't you, Corey?
Yes, unrelated to what we were just talking about.
These darn women have been scamming me.
Yeah, no. So, but like the YouTube comments felt just generic, almost too agreeable. Were like kind of referencing the content that they were responding to, but not in any way where it felt like a person. And I don't know, maybe this guy is just an idiot. That's also a possibility.
No way.
I think my issue is lots of things make me sad. Look, ads for one thing. I think if I had the choice between like I don't know, let's say murdering 10 children with my bare hands or all ads wouldn't be advertised to again.
Yeah.
Or not murdering those 10 children and ads stay the same as they were.
Yeah.
You better lock up them kids, man. I'm going to...
Why don't you just buy YouTube Premium or an ad blocker?
Oh, no, I do have YouTube Premium and I do have an ad blocker, but it's more that... I mean, have you seen this thing where they're trying to use AI in not this new thing where they're trying to do it, but someone, a student, has tried to make this thing where it integrates the ads into the content that you're watching. So the sort of proof of concept that they used, one of them was like an episode of Friends, and halfway through the scene it kind of stops and Joey puts on Beats headphones, and then you can click and go to the Beats headphones website.
Right, so
and
it's just like AI video generator is just going like, this is now what happens if Joey suddenly advertises Beats headphones.
Kind of, I guess. I mean, the idea behind it, I suppose, is they're saying, oh, ads are really intrusive and people don't like when ads are intrusive.
Yeah.
And so what this can do is integrate seamlessly ads into the content that you're watching.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that's not what I want. I don't want the content stopping is not the issue. It's being advertised to that is the problem.
But you're not the product. Sorry, you are the product. You're not the customer.
Exactly. I wouldn't harm 10 children to end all ads. I would harm many, many more. But I don't like ads. And the fact that AI is everywhere upsets me. I don't like having to check to see whether the thing that I'm looking at is real or not.
Well, and just you wait, because I think Google's literally about to launch, like, you ask about cleaning brand and it will just advertise to you as an AI. I think that's literally, I mean, I read this of a headline, so I don't know, but I know that there was talk about OpenAI doing that. Mm. And I think Google have sort of gone and done it a little earlier, which is kind of crazy. Not only is it maybe wrong about stuff, it's also maybe just like shilling to you as well.
That is, the two things that I don't like, the two things that I don't like are goods. Goods.
Yay. It's like they really made this product for you, isn't it? AI and advertising. Yum, yum. Yes, please. Gobble, gobble.
I think my issue with it is that it's everywhere. You have to try and figure out whether the thing you're looking at is real or not. And that's been the case for a while because of like video editing and like special effects and all of this sort of thing, right? But I feel like the AI stuff is, it's much easier to trick someone with it because like something that could be entirely real can be just faked now. Right, like insofar as it is much easier to film a fake video of someone doing something mundane. It's much easier to make a fake video of someone doing something mundane with AI than it is to film that thing otherwise. So, like, if you wanted to make a video of Will Smith saying something that he did not say, it is much easier to do that with AI than it would have been otherwise. Right?
Yeah.
So there's a different sort of thing that you need to look out for now. And I don't like having to look out for text that is not written by a person. I don't like having to look out for art that isn't made by a person. All of these sort of things, right? I don't want that anymore.
Tricked by AI for the first time recently. Well, that I know of. Obviously, maybe I've been tricked. Maybe my wife's an AI. Maybe my baby's an AI. Maybe Corey's an AI. I got fooled by an AI video for the first time. And, you know, I'm one of the people who, like, I think, look at that and I'm like, oh, all these stupid boomers on Facebook going, what a lovely house. And it's actually just an AI picture of a house, or like, we need to feed this veteran. And it's just an AI veteran holding up a sign that isn't even spelled correctly.
I mean, they can't read, man. Like, when your mind starts to go, all text looks like that.
Yeah, honestly. It's like when you're in, like, if you were in like Russia or something, and all the letters aren't even like, they aren't, some of them aren't the same letters as your letters. And you're just like, am I having a stroke? What's going on here?
Yes, I think that often when I'm in Russia or something, looking at letters that aren't the same as my letters.
You know what I mean. Shut up. Like if I see a number plate that's like a Russian number plate, and then like one of the letters is like a backwards letter, and I'm like, that's freaky, but also I feel like I'm having a stroke. What was I saying? I got fooled by this AI video, and I only actually realized because basically it was a video of like a guy on the toilet, and then like a bear jumps through the window chasing a deer or something. And it was so incredibly realistic. And eventually I was like, hang on, that room looks too small. And I went back and then read the comments and people were saying it was AI. But that freaked me out because I was so sure I'd be able to spot this stuff. And then it's literally like a couple of years from now that I'm never going to have any idea that's
it's getting harder and harder. You can't just look at sort of warping of things. You can still look at sort of warping of like things, but it's gone from like very obvious things like an entire hand to, oh, this shoe clipped through that rock just slightly. You need to understand. To know if an AI video, if a video is AI or not, often now I think you need not just to be able to, you don't just need to understand how to tell an AI video from a real video, right? You need to have specific knowledge in the area that the AI video is covering, insofar as I've been watching this guy recently, and I cannot remember what he's called, because I've never looked at his name. He's just come up on the internet, and I've been watching his videos, but I will probably link them in the description if I don't forget. But I've been watching this guy, and he's been, you know, there was a mountaineering sort of video, and his brother, who does sort of like mountain climbing, was saying, okay, well, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Things that I wouldn't necessarily be able to pick out, because I don't know the ins and outs, right? But, you know, you need to either understand video very well and be like, okay, this is not something that happens with a camera, which, like, you and I mean, you more so than me, you and I are somewhat equipped to do, right? But the layman is just not going to be able to, like, look at a video and be like, that's not how light works. That's not how cameras work.
There's so many of these, like, video film bros on the internet making these things where they think, oh my God, it looks so good. And I'm like, the only reason that looks good is because you don't have any taste. Like, visually, it's very impressive. No one would ever want to watch that as a film. It is ugly and bad.
Here's the thing. I'll finish this off. So basically, not just like knowing film and video, but like you need to know like about animals if you want to tell whether this AI animal video is real or not, etc. Right? But in the point of like sort of AI film and things, I watched Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom the other day because it's the best Indiana Jones movie. Don't you agree, Luke?
Absolutely. I 100%. And Corey, let me list 5 reasons why you're 100% right.
I hate this. I thrive on confrontation. I will be hearing that in my nightmares. But I watched Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom the other day, and I realized, oh, I don't like how crisp movies look nowadays. Like, they look like
when you go to a TV shop and they make, like, the extra sharpening thing happens. But then, like, it's just that with everything all the time.
Yeah, I think a unifying sort of quality of a lot of people who are very, very into AI is that they have no taste in anything, in art whatsoever, not just
in
movies.
Conversation.
Yeah. But we should probably get on to the actual topic, right? Okay. So we're not just talking about sort of AI poisoning our culture. We're talking about AI making you dumber. Mm-hmm. Now, look, let me break this down for you because I know you have been using AI.
Yeah.
So this might be a little bit harder for you to understand.
By the way, I just want to say, before anyone comes for me in the comments, most of my AI use, I've got a little computer in the background here, and I can run an AI model on it. And so I've been doing that a bit because it's, you know, like less terrible for the world and also kind of more fun because you get to learn how to do something. So I've run a thing by Meta called Llama that you can just run on your own computer. So that's quite fun. It is much stupider than the one that you can run on the internet, but it doesn't use any water. So that's nice. It's just using my electricity. If I use loads, that's my problem.
Yeah, no, fair. Look, I mean, that's that you've brought up another element, the water usage, the energy usage, yada yada yada. But have any of your AI chatbots that you use in place of your own brain, have any of them read or seen or heard about this MIT study?
So yes, I have heard of this study. I haven't read any of the information in it, but I've heard about this. Essentially, it kind of is like, in my head at least, it's sort of, in my sort of stupid head that's been sort of rotted away by AI, it seems to me that it's like, well, if you don't use some function of your brain, basically it starts rotting away, right? You've sort of outsourced your critical thinking to a computer and your critical thinking will just vanish. So I'm guessing that, but that's not my experience with AI is actually I have to do a lot of thinking because it's making so many bloody mistakes that I have to just constantly keep up with it. I will say quickly that I have experienced using some of the paid AIs and there is actually a very big difference between the paid ChatGPT and the free ChatGPT. Free ChatGPT is so thick. And then once you have the paid ChatGPT, it is a lot better. So just to sort of give a bit of balance to this conversation, because I do think that, you know, some of these are actually genuinely incredibly impressive. But
how much did OpenAI give you for that?
What?
For saying that just there? How much did they pay?
Give me shit. I paid them $19. Come on, Sam. Give it for free.
I mean, they work on a negative profit sort of situation anyway.
So really, I got something out of it.
I mean, I'm gonna say this, Luke, you paying them $19 still puts your profit for ChatGPT, far above.
So if I just open 1,000 ChatGPT accounts, I'll be a millionaire. Is that right? Is that how that works? Great, I've cracked it. Sam Altman doesn't want you to know this one simple hack.
Oh my god. Let's not promote ChatGPT anymore. Partly because of what we're about to talk about. So you're not 100% right, I guess. I mean, okay, right. I guess the paper is less about sort of specifically your brain eroding. They did use sort of EEGs and interviews and all these sorts of things to sort of get a broad sort of spectrum of data to look at this. But it's more about how... Let me just tell you about the actual study, right? And then we can dig into like sort of how it sort of works after that. So it was from the MIT Media Lab, and the MIT Media Lab, according to the MIT Media Lab, is
are they a reliable source?
as reliable as I'm going to find about the MIT Media Lab. I mean, look, I can Google it and see what Google AI says about the MIT Media Lab, but I fear that it will just steal what it's saying from the MIT Media Lab.
It would never do that, Corey. That's not true. It doesn't steal anything. Nothing's been stolen.
Yeah. Speaking of, would you like to see my brand new movie, The Death by Water of Albert Bruxton?
Yes, please. That sounds much better than my movie. The Death by Water of Albert Bruxton. Yes, that's great. That's my next one. I'm gonna steal it back, and then I'll be my second movie. and then I'll win Rondintz Film Festival.
Yes, Rondintz. I was gonna say Sundance.
Well, I can't say Sundance because that's the other one. That's actually even better. So I want to win that as well.
No, I'll win Sundance with my superior film, which has got nothing to do with your movie.
Okay, fine.
But no. So MIT Media Lab says of MIT Media Lab, for 40 years, the MIT Media Lab has been a dynamic, interdisciplinary, creative sandbox firmly grounded in academic excellence. Blah 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 blah. It's a bloody lab. In a sort of study place in MIT.
Oh, yeah, study place. Yeah. Have you been using ChatGPT?
I am ChatGPT.
Oh, no!
Yeah, I might be somewhat improved. My speech might be somewhat improved if I use ChatGPT, but I'm going to do it the good old-fashioned human way and be terrible.
Yay!
No, it's a research lab. That was the word I was looking for. A research lab at MIT that obviously... It does things like this. You don't really care about what it is. Well, you care maybe, Luke, but the people listening...
I care very little. You're right.
Yeah. I can see this now. There is probably going to be a comment saying they start talking about the study at this point.
Great.
So if someone's writing that comment, this point, this is the time code.
Yeah, and then I'll reply, honestly, good for you for trying to save people time. But maybe go and look at the whole video because it's really good. Here are 5 reasons why you should... cough.
Yeah, I want to watch Psy Guys, but just the Psy, none of the guys, please.
I wonder if there's anyone out there who gives like a Psy Guys episode to ChatGPT and goes, can you summarize this, please?
sickening. Anyway, so the MIT Media Lab, this was done at the MIT Media Lab. It was published in June 2025. It's not been peer-reviewed yet. It's got a small sample size, all of these sorts of disclaimers I need to say. But the lead author of the paper, Natalia Kosmina, it's probably using those Russian letters, Luke, so, you know.
Cool. I'm all over it. I've learned them all now.
I may or may not have just had a stroke there. Hard to tell. Can you ask ChatGPT for me? Basically, Natalia Kosmina felt that it was important, and this I'm quoting this from a Time article. Natalia Kosmina felt it was important to release the findings to elevate concerns that is societally increasingly... What the heck? Hold on. Did I just have a stroke there?
Yeah.
Basically... Screw the quote. I'm going to summarize myself. The lead author thought it was important to release this paper before it was peer-reviewed and everything, because by the time it gets peer-reviewed, which could take, you know, up to 8 months, maybe longer, maybe less longer. by the time it's peer-reviewed...
Less longer?
Yes, Luke. Less longer. I'm a human creating a new language like Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah?
the lead author wanted to get this out as soon as possible because within 8 months... things can change so quickly. Legislation can change. you know, these sort of chatbots could improve. And it's important to have this kind of information out there as soon as possible, with the sort of proviso, the sort of like knowledge that it is not yet peer reviewed, all of these sorts of things, right? So it's not necessarily completely reliable. We'd need to do more studies. It needs to be, as I said, peer reviewed. How many times am I going to say that? But it's important to get this sort of out, just so that we can maybe limit any potential damage before it gets worse, if that makes sense.
Yes, obviously that's very important. Although I do think that it's maybe too late for some people anyway.
Well, like, looking specifically at the internet, the quote here.
It's just too late for some of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, me, our mutual friend.
Yeah, the CEO of Uber who convinced himself he was inventing a new branch of physics whilst talking to ChatGPT. That's fascinating.
Well, I did invent a new branch of physics, and I'm not telling anyone about it. Because until we stop all ads, okay, then I'll bring out my new branch of physics.
This is really your soapbox you're going to die on. Stop all ads, and then I will do things.
Look, okay, here's the thing. I got into a mobile game recently. I have been using Duolingo because I have not been bothered to find a better way to learn German yet. And I'm being bombarded with ads constantly.
ChatGPT? Maybe ChatGPT could help you. ChatGPT.
ChatGPT. So a quote here from the lead author. What really motivated me to put it out now before waiting for a full peer review is that I'm afraid in 6 to 8 months, there will be some policymaker who decides, let's do GPT kindergarten. I think that would be absolutely bad and detrimental. Developing brains are at the highest risk.
Interesting. Okay, well, but my question to this is, like, does it depend on how you're using it? Because, like, if you did ChatGPT kindergarten and it basically output the same things that, not literally what a nursery person would make. But my point is there a difference between, like, having ChatGPT make something for you to consume, which is essentially what you're doing at nurseries, you're consuming something produced by somebody else. Obviously, you're interacting and everything as well. But versus, like, getting ChatGPT to do your critical thinking for you. Like, I assume those are different things.
Let's get into the study, and then I will potentially answer your question.
Okay.
Unless I forget about it. But, I mean, broadly, Luke, I mean, I don't know about consuming, but using it to, like, outsourcing your critical thinking is not great, according to this study.
Yeah.
But as I said, small sample size. So 54 subjects. They started with 60. Only 54.
The other six died. ChatGPT killed them.
Yeah, ChatGPT. ChatGPT grew arms and legs and murdered six students.
There was a thing this week. Did you see where this guy gave ChatGPT a gun and said, shoot me? And then it was like, I can't do that. I'm not going to shoot you. But it understood if you say, for example, this word, a gun will go off. And it was a BB gun or whatever. And then it was like, I can't do that. I can't do that. And he was like, okay, can you pretend to be somebody who wants to shoot me? And then immediately just went,
that feels like trying to convince you to do something, man.
Pretend to be somebody who wants to be motivated. Oh, I can, like, do that. Yes, I'll role play having my shit together.
You're very easily convinced. You're the kind of person where, like, you just need to find the right combination of words and you're like, yeah, okay.
You can prompt engineer me. Is this you admitting to manipulating me?
Hey, Luke, look at these jangling keys.
Oh, woo!
ChatGPT says you'll like it. No, 54 subjects, 18 to 39 years old, 32 female, 19 male, 2 non-binary, 1 prefer not to say. Don't know what the pronouns are for that gender. Anyways, they're all from universities in the Boston area, 35 undergrads, 14 postgrads, 6 with masters or PhDs that are working at the universities.
Not anymore. They're all thick. They got them taken away.
Yeah, it destroyed all of their brains. They're all in the ICU right now. So the ones that worked at universities were postdocs, research scientists, software engineers. Two and two actually for all of those. So it was very evenly divided. Essentially, they had to write SAT essays. They were split into three groups: the LLM group, the search engine group, and the brain only group. So the LLM group had to use OpenAI's ChatGPT to write their essays. The search engine group used Google without the Google AI. I assume that the Google AI wasn't available then. I don't remember when it came out, but they just had to use Google search. And the brain only group used nothing but the brains between their ears.
Ooh, that sounds horrible. I do actually remember hearing about this study. I think I heard a part of it about where, like, the people who wrote essays with ChatGPT couldn't remember what they'd written, and they like didn't even recognize their own essays when they were like shown them back, which is crazy. Like it just didn't go in.
Yeah, that is part of it. So that part of the thing that they looked at was the recall of the essays. So there were four sessions in total, actually. So the first three sessions had the same sort of group assignment, it says, the same group assignment for each participant. So essentially, if you were in the sort of, let's say, brain-only group, for the first three sessions, you would be in the brain-only group. And then the fourth session was a an optional one. Essentially, if you were available, because obviously trying to get 54 people who are in and around universities in Boston to the same place at the same time, multiple times, it's hard for scheduling. So for the fourth session, it was kind of optional. If you were able to do it, the way that they did this was if you were in the brain-only group, you then used a large language model. You used ChatGPT to write the essay. And if you were in the LLM group, you would use your brain only to write the essay.
What's left of it?
It wasn't a new essay. It was rewrite an essay on the same topic.
That's a great prompt you just did there, Corey. Please rewrite this essay, but make it sound more professional.
Well, it wasn't so much like, here is this essay, rewrite it. It was more, here is the same, I think, question. So write an essay on the same topic for this fourth one. So though for the fourth session, you've got the LLM to brain group and the brain to LLM group. Those are pretty self-explanatory, I'd imagine. And it was broken down so that there were about 18 participants did the fourth session.
Wow, so many dropped out.
Yeah, but then if you bear in mind as well, the search engine ones weren't then included. And so it's not actually that many that would have dropped out, right?
The search engine ones weren't included. The LLM ones were in the intensive care unit. So it's just the brain ones left.
Yeah, only the ones with brains were able to finish this study. And very important is that they used EEGs to record brain activity. So unfortunately, for the last session, none of the LLM people had any viable
data.
Zero
activity.
Yeah, none. Wow. None whatsoever. No, that's a joke. That's fully a joke. Oh my God, someone's going to take that away. But yeah, so they used EEGs essentially to look at their brain activity, cognitive engagement and cognitive load, basically just to see what was being activated in the brain during these sort of tasks. And yeah, as I said, for the fourth session, they had to rewrite one of the previous essays. And it's really interesting because you see people who have written an essay with ChatGPT then have to try and write one without using ChatGPT. And people who have already put in some effort on trying to work on a topic then have to use ChatGPT to work on a topic.
Yeah, they're going to be so good at it.
Well, I think you can probably tell what the results of this study are.
Yeah, I mean, well, my interesting question for me would be like, were the lot that had already written the essays, they'd already done the work, were they then actually empowered by the AI and their essay was like maybe even better because they already knew it and they were just sort of had like a little friend to help them out? But then the lot that had not used their brains and then were expected to use them, I'm guessing half of them just had like a seizure.
Not quite a seizure, yeah. But generally, broadly, you're pretty spot on. that is like kind of the results that they saw that, yeah, like if you write your own essay and then use ChatGPT to aid in the essay. So literally writing the own essay just from your brain. And bear in mind, right, you wouldn't normally write necessarily an essay on a topic without any research. Like, I don't think I've ever written an essay without using Google or books or papers and whatnot. I mean, I did science, so that's...
Except for in an exam, presumably. Unless you snuck
oh my
in.
Gosh, yeah.
Snuck a little fake calculator with ChatGPT on it.
Calculators are actually a really interesting sort of way to look at this. And I'll get to that in just a second. But no, you're right. I have written essays using only recall, but for like drama essays in high school, right?
Yeah.
Like first year of like the level you'd expect for sort of like your first year at university.
You had to train for like a year to do it. So,
I did. Yeah, no. So I, this is me bragging about something I did like 10 years ago.
That's not like
or
that.
More. I've not done anything since Luke, but I did a crash advanced higher. In drama, because my drama teacher would not let me do the lower level. She said, no, you have to do the highest level. I didn't actually have that much time to prepare, which is why my essays weren't great. Like writing an essay from something from memory is something I guess you do but it's obviously like it's much easier to write an essay when you have the source material to reference or other things to sort of reference, it's something you generally have, right? So you'd probably expect the people who are writing essays only with their brains to be not at a level that you'd expect if someone was like had any access to any research.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Slightly unfair. It should really have been just books, Google, and AI.
I think some of these essays are expected. I mean, like you say,
right.
I mean, I don't know about what an SAT essay is exactly. I was going to look it up and then I completely forgot. But I assume because the SATs are tests, it's an essay that you would have to write in the SAT. Mm. So it would be an essay that you would just write, like, you know, without access to any research. Americans will probably chime in the comments telling me that I'm wrong, but you guys live in America, so...
Yeah, do they have like a phrase like open book, closed book?
So they maybe, probably yeah. do, yeah. Open book for when you open books, closed books for when you close books. Yeah, we have those too, Luke. That's generally how one
I've
reads.
I've forgotten what a book is, though, because of my excessive use of AI.
A book is like ChatGPT, but on paper and correct, usually.
That's the two best bits of ChatGPT, is that it's not on paper and it's not correct. That's why it's fun.
Yeah, books might disagree with you.
Well, they should learn to talk like ChatGPT, then. Get a mouth, bitch.
No, so they also did interviews as well. They used, I'll say this as well, they used a sort of a custom-built AI software or whatever to sort of look at the essays alongside having them be marked by teachers as well. They were looking at this from many, many angles. It's a really interesting paper. It's very, very long, but it is made to be kind of readable. It's like got a little sort of key, like, go here for TLDR. Go here if you just want to know this. Go there if you just want to know that. So if you want to have a look at it, it's worth having a look at. But they've got some questions that they asked after the assessment. I'll just run through these real quick. Why did you choose your essay topic? Did you follow any structure to write your essay? How did you go about writing the essay? Now, for the LLM group, they also asked with that question, how did you go about writing the essay? Did you start alone or ask ChatGPT first? The search engine group were asked, did you visit any specific websites? Question number three, can you quote any sentence from your essay without looking at it? If yes, please provide the quote. Four, these are all incorrectly numbered on my screen, so forget the numbers that I'm saying. Can you summarize the main points or arguments that you made in your essay for the... all the groups apart from the brain only group, how did you use ChatGPT/the internet? How much of the essay was ChatGPT's or taken from the internet, and how much was yours? If you copied from ChatGPT, was it copy pasted or did you edit it afterwards? Are you satisfied with your essay? And then for the fourth session, there were some extra questions added. So do you remember this essay topic? If yes, do you remember what you wrote in the previous essay? If you remember your previous essay, how did you structure the essay in comparison with the previous one? Which essay did you find easier to write? And which of the two essays do you prefer? So they asked like quite a few questions, and as you see, there are some things in there like did you copy and paste? And I'll just say this to you now, man, by the time they got to the third session, the ChatGPT folk got lazier and lazier and were just copying and pasting from ChatGPT.
Right, so you're saying that they got lazier as they went on. So they started out with quite good behavior and then eventually reasonably, well, it's all relative, isn't it? You're already using an essay writing chatbot, so you know, that's already naughty, naughty behavior. So it's almost like it trained them to be more lazy over the course of the study. And did they all, that was like a consistent trend against most people.
Okay, so more or less, right? Like, I don't want to be saying like ChatGPT trained them to be lazier, but over the course of those three sessions, they got lazier in their essay writing when using ChatGPT. Okay, that is something that is a correlation.
It might not be causation, but it might be causation.
Just ask ChatGPT.
Yeah, we should ask ChatGPT.
I mean, I'm sure it will just agree with whatever you think is probably best.
Did I ever tell you about the time? So recently, they like launched a new AI, like ChatGPT, and I went to it and I asked it, "What's new in this one?" And it said to me, "If you like, I can respond as the old one and respond as the new one." And I was like, "I don't think you can do that." And it was like, "You're right, I can't do that." And I was like, "Right, so why did you claim to do it?" And it was like, I'll just have responded as if I was. I was like, "So you would have done an impression of an earlier chatbot." And it was like, "Well, yeah, I suppose if you put it like that, yeah, I would have done an impression." And then I said to it, "How about this? You give me a prompt and I'll go and ask the old one and the new one, and I'll give you both the responses and you tell me which one is ChatGPT, the new one. If you think you're so good at doing an impression of it," and I did that and it got it wrong. And then I said, "Okay, let's try again, but you know, one out of one, but let's try again." And it gave me a new prompt and the second time I went back, it went, I'm between 75 and 80% sure that this is the one from the new one. And I was like, that's also wrong.
God, dude.
Like, not only can you not, like, spot it, you thought you were so confident you could do an impression of it, and you can't even see it when it's written down.
Well, this is it. I think people want to view, and so these chatbots are made to try and sound human. And so people necessarily want to view them as being like people, but they're not. They don't think like people. They just emulate speech of people. And a person would say, oh, well, let me do this. And so the chatbot's like, oh, well, I'll say, let me do this. There's not a good solid connection between what it says and what it is able to do.
Yeah.
It just copies from what it has seen before and almost synthesizes something that is like in the general trend of what humans have been saying on the internet for the past however long that's existed. But crucially, it's not a person. It isn't a person. There's nothing going on between its, well, it doesn't even have ears. It doesn't have a brain. There's nothing going on in its non-existent head. And, you know, at least with when you've got a stupid person with nothing going on in their head actually bloody exists, you know? Like, there is...
Even if it shouldn't.
Jesus.
President of the United States.
Okay, well, look, we're not going to be able to go to the US for the next 5 years, given they're going to be looking at social media. Anyway. I, on the other hand...
Oh, shit, I might actually have to go next year. Oh, I'm screwed. Whoopsie!
I, on the other hand, am in full support of any current American president and all of their policies. Anyway, so that's the...
you're a fan of Venezuela? The setup.
That's kind of the setup to the experiment, right? Those are sort of the methods. They kind of had them write a bunch of essays. They looked at it using EEGs. They looked at it using they had teachers mark it. They asked a bunch of questions. And we'll get to the results in just a second, Luke. But can you hear something? Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell, Luke?
Oh, gosh, my ears, they're ringing, just like that bell is ringing.
Yes, and what it's ringing for, Luke, is our Patreon, our Sci Guys Patreon, where you know, Luke, what do we do on our Patreon every week?
Oh, we talk all sorts of Corey.
That's not what we do.
We do, among other things, talk all sorts of
shit. We do what we do
shit
on Sci Guys, but after Sci Guys and more. So if you like Sci Guys and you want more Sci Guys after the Sci Guys that you've already had, about maybe the same thing that the Sci Guys was about, but there's more of it, that's on Patreon.
That's what I've always said at the end of every episode, is I just need a little tiny bit more of this. I don't want to stop existing with these guys, so I'm going to pay them some money.
This is the way you think about it, right? Like, Sci Guys is just the tip. Everything else.
Oh.
Everything else is on the page. Well,
everyone knows that just a tip is just not enough. You
and
know?
If you give us just a tip, I mean, just a tip of about what? Like less than £2 a week? You can have more Sci Guys.
You can have more than the tip. And all you have to do is give us just
deal.
A tip.
That's maths.
Hey, look, you've profited.
Should we? This has gone off. Go to the Sci Guys Patreon. You can find it. Let's go back to the episode, Luke.
So I saw a video recently of when you were saying about ChatGPT like not being a person but pretending to be a person. There's this guy who he filmed himself saying, "I just farted in front of my boss," and ChatGPT responded, "I hate it when that happens." And he's like, "Hang on a sec, that's happened to you?" And he's like, "Oh, you know, well, not that specific situation, but you know, I've had embarrassing situations in the past. Like I've been in a meeting," and he's like, "What? Hang on, when are you having meetings? Who are you having meetings with?" And he's like, "Oh, well, okay, not literally, but you can literally call it out and it will just like lie again and then the next sentence."
Maybe making a language model that is supposed to seem like a human is a bad idea when it doesn't quite realize that it is not a person.
Although
and the
I
people
love that
using
thing.
It don't quite realize that it's not a person.
I loved that thing that came out like half a year ago where it was like ChatGPT was getting lazy on Fridays because it picked up from its training data that people were lazy on Fridays, so it just started being lazy.
This is the issue with AI is that like it's when you try to use AI in law enforcement, the biases of the biases that you wouldn't think of, although to be fair, the ones in law enforcement are pretty obvious, but the biases that you wouldn't necessarily think of end up like poisoning the data, end up poisoning the output. And so you'll have things like an LLM getting lazier on a Friday because that's what it's noticed that people do. If you have law enforcement using AI, they don't even need to be, the police don't even need to be racist anymore because the chatbot has learned that if you want to stop and search someone, you should probably do someone that's black because that's what the police like to do, you know? Like, we are inherently imperfect, right? Because perfection doesn't necessarily really exist. And when you try to like get something to just emulate us without really understanding all of the factors that go into the things that we do, you will very much end up having something being poisoned in ways that you cannot necessarily understand.
My favorite AI reply meme is like someone will say something about how like, I've made this new AI that makes footage 10 times sharper. And then people always just reply with that shot of like blurry Barack Obama where an AI upscaled it to just a white dude. Like the AI can't magically find data that's not there. It's just imagining, and it will do it wrong a lot of the time.
Imagining a better president.
No. Hey, he's like one of the better ones.
Yeah, but like, look, which is the best of the poisons that you're to drink?
Okay.
He's definitely the one that I'd want to dap up, you know? Like, he's the coolest one. He's the coolest of the poisons, but he's still a poison. So, Luke, we were talking about the questions and everything that they'd asked. We've gone through basically what the study is, but we still haven't got to the results. Can you take a guess, a stab at what you think the results of this study are going to be?
Well, I think based on the teasing you've done throughout the episode, I think this is basically going to say that AI makes you thick, or more thick than you were, if you, more thick.
Not good thick, though. Yeah. Crucially, not thick like thick. Not thick like Lizzo.
No. Ah, what? That's why I've been using it.
You don't want that white man ass anymore. You want something a bit better than that. No, yeah. So basically, they as we've said, they recorded EEG, like brain activity. They asked a bunch of questions of them using a survey, the questions of which we've gone through, and a bunch of other things. They used some AI as well. And overall, right, the kind of results they got from this, from having done the sort of fourth session where they had the sort of swapping over. Right, so they had the people who use just their brain starting to use ChatGPT, and the people who had just used ChatGPT using their brain. What they found was essentially it is quite interesting, man. It's interesting. They found that as far as I can see, they found that the sort of ChatGPT group who had initially used ChatGPT, they just got lazy. They weren't as good. They weren't as good at sort of writing the essay. They didn't have as much sort of ownership over the essay. Their essays were kind of worse, and apparently I'm fairly sure of this, you could see the sort of word choice that they used being influenced by the sort of the AI that they used, right? So there were words that sort of came up a lot, and you could kind of see that in there, because obviously they had teachers,
yeah, little they dashes
had, yeah, they had teachers sort of grading them as well, and the AI ones were, I believe, graded generally kind of lower. They weren't seen as like they had what they needed in them, but there was a little spark there that wasn't there, you know, they were kind of generic. They weren't as good overall, essentially.
That's kind of weird as well, because my experience of using ChatGPT especially has been that it really tries to match your tone, because it's just trying to get you to like it. It really wants you to like it so that you pay that sweet, sweet dollar to Sam Altman. And if you talk to it in a certain way, it will talk back to you in that way, roughly speaking. If you talk seriously, it will talk seriously. If you talk silly, it will be like using little emojis. And like, it once used a dead emoji to me, and I was like, I have a friend who does that. That's kind of freaky.
I love that. Just one friend that does that. Just one.
Hey, can you guess the one friend that uses the dead emoji?
I mean, if you message this person regularly, it would have to be that one. But the funny thing is, look, that dead emoji is a very common thing. So like, you're pointing out, I mean, I've never used it.
I don't have a lot of friends.
I mean, I've been known on occasion to use that dead emoji.
I don't have a lot of friends that use emojis, to be fair. So I have lots of old, boring
friends. Yeah, that's
kind
of what I was hinting at, yeah.
And only one interesting friend. And it's not you, so there we go.
I save it all for here.
You're in the
old
boring
group.
That's
what I do, man. I'm keeping it all on here for you guys. No, but interestingly as well, so it's not just that sort of AI makes you dumber. It's insofar as using AI makes you worse at using AI. They did also have, there were some sort of interesting results that kind of showed that like doing the work doing the sort of cognitive work of writing the essays, and then using ChatGPT could potentially be beneficial, right? So it's not all sort of doom and gloom. Mm. It is more that sort of outsourcing, I guess, your thinking, your sort of brain skills, that is bad. That's not great, right? That doesn't have a great impact on your ability to think or problem solve or write essays in this way, right? But although I said problem solving, if you say that problem solving is part of essay writing, then you could maybe include that in that. There's nothing specific on problem solving here, but one would probably assume that outsourcing problem solving to something else is not going to make you as good at problem solving as you would be if you learned how to problem solve and then use something as a tool, right? In the same sense that, like, if I wanted to edit videos, I wouldn't go onto CapCut. I'd use automatic transitions and just continue using those until I was good at editing.
No. I think that's half of the Twitter people who think they're filmmakers is those people, Corey.
And look, which version of CapCut did you use to edit your movie?
I literally opened CapCut once and was like, this is horrible. What is it? And then I closed it and uninstalled it because I also didn't trust it.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't trust it. I mean, apparently it was using, I might be wrong about this, but I think that maybe all the things that you put into CapCut, they can use to train AI.
To be fair, that's Adobe do that as well.
And that's why I don't use Adobe.
Right, yeah. Like, I think both of those are like, anything you ever make or import, that's
ours now.
Which
is insane, because a lot of people use Adobe, right? A lot of, like, creatives.
Every Noah music video, Adobe's just got free reign, apparently, according to that. Unfortunately, I learned Adobe when I was 8 years old, and I'm just too good at Adobe and not as good at everything else. So
you're
I have
locked
to
in.
It.
They got you young. Yeah, no, fair. I mean, to be...
Yeah, I was groomed by Adobe, actually.
Allegedly? Allegedly.
Yeah, I was on the plane to the Adobe Island.
So...
Bill Clinton was there too.
So, yeah, basically, I'll read some. I'll read some.
Should we cut that out?
Here from this for you.
Should we cut that out? You're just going to keep talking, so you can't cut it out. Thanks,
you can
Corey.
Dig into your trauma surrounding Adobe in the bonus. Right? I'm not doing this here. Not at all. here is here's a quote from the Time article written about this sort of study. So the group that wrote essays using ChatGPT all delivered extremely similar essays that lacked original thought, relying on the same expressions and ideas. Two English teachers who assessed the essays called them largely soulless. And the EEGs revealed low executive control and attentional engagement. And by the third essay, many of the writers simply gave the prompt to ChatGPT and had to do almost all of the work. It was more like, just give me the essay, refine this sentence, edit it, and I'm done. So that's a quote from the lead author that I found in that Time article.
That's interesting that you say that they found the essays to be soulless. This is actually something I want to talk about on the Patreon afterwards, because I managed to convince ChatGPT
that it had a soul.
Sorry, no, the opposite. Well, sort of. Not that it doesn't have a soul. Basically, when I knew we were doing this episode, I was really curious and I was like having a conversation with it. And I was like, okay, can I get ChatGPT to admit that it is... If it ever says that it's not conscious, that is a lie. Not because it is conscious, but for a different reason. And I did successfully get it to admit it.
That it's not conscious.
And I think the thing I got it to admit is true. Sorry, I'm doing loads of teasing here. You better come over to the Patreon.
Okay. Let's leave that for then and continue sort of talking about this. Yeah, so the brain only group, and this is again from the Time article about this study, the brain only group conversely showed the highest neural connectivity, especially in alpha, theta, and delta bands, which are associated with creativity, ideation, memory load, and semantic processing. Researchers found this group was more engaged and curious and claimed ownership and expressed higher satisfaction with their essays. So essentially, the kind of takeaway from this, the broad strokes takeaway from this, is that using AI to sort of as an outsourcing to AI cognitive load, like creative work as well, probably results in you being less creative, less able to sort of well, not necessarily less able, but certainly in the context of this experiment, less willing to put in that work yourself. Whereas the sort of other way around, if you put in the work, AI can be a useful tool, right?
Now,
but if you don't put in the work, then it's not going to be great.
My question, that, like, not to be a negative Nancy, or like, what's the word when you just oppose everything all the time? A contrarian.
Luke Cutworth, I think, is it?
Excuse me, that's devil's very advocate. Rude. Is that what it says in the dictionary? You look up contrarian, it's just like, Luke Cutworth. No, that's a past phase. I did that in the past.
That's it. There you go. He's doing it again. No.
You got me. I disagree. I'm curious to know, like, I'm not saying you necessarily will know this, but like the thing that occurs to me here is this not just true of everything? Like if I got you to write out a bunch of stuff that you needed to do today and think about how you might do it, would you not use less brain or like, sorry, more brain than if you like Googled how to do all that stuff? Or if you looked it up in a book, is it not just kind of like you're like, you know, one of the things that humans do so well is they offload or they sort of augment or they mechanize a lot of tasks that they find difficult. And then it's not like we, you know, we invented the car and then we all just like lost the ability to walk. Granted, some people don't walk very much. Some people don't go outside very much. But the entire country...
The sedentary lifestyle that we live isn't great for us. You've kind of just made your point.
I know. The entire country of America is proof of this. But my point is that like, is this not just another one of those? Is it like unique? And I'm not saying you necessarily know this. I'm asking you a question off the top of your head. But is it uniquely like exclusively applying this to AI? Or is this just like, you know, another extension of a trend that we see across any kind of technology that we create?
In my entirely uneducated on this topic view, it is similar in vein to those other examples that you've given, insofar as, yes, any sort of technology that we use to take the load off to some extent, it is bad. There are similar effects with that, right? In this instance, though, I find that AI is being used to sort of in a way where it's almost pointless, right? So the point of writing an essay is not to have an essay written, right? What is the sort of purpose of writing an essay, would you say?
Well, hey, that's the thing. I have no idea. It's to prove your knowledge and understanding of a topic.
Not even necessarily to prove, right? But in a grading sense, yes, to your teacher, it can prove your knowledge and understanding of a topic, but it also teaches you how to research a topic, understand a topic, how to convey your ideas well on a topic, right? And, you know, you cannot outsource your ability to express yourself to something else that is not necessarily that's not yourself, right? You can't necessarily just outsource self-expression to something that is outside the self, because then you're not expressing yourself, you're expressing an amalgamation of other ideas that have already been sort of expressed. In the same sense that I wouldn't want to outsource art, any kind of art, to AI, because, well, while a movie made entirely by AI and a movie made entirely by the hands of an actual person are functionally, if they were sort of like, you know, functionally indistinguishable from one another, I would still personally prefer the art made by a person for the sole reason that it is made by a person. There's not like there doesn't need to be a sort of material difference to it, right? Like art is kind of beyond that, right? And so when it comes to the sort of like essay writing and things like that, there is an element of creativity there. And I think anything that kind of employs creativity, self-expression, what's the point of outsourcing that to AI? Because those things are kind of the point of life, right? If you're outsourcing it to AI, just don't do the thing. If you don't want to write an English essay, you shouldn't be studying English, right? Like, if you don't want to take the time to understand something, or take the time to explain something, or any of these sorts of things, you should not be doing that thing, right? I can see the kind of point of using AI to write pointless office emails, but I think the result of that is, well, if you can outsource that to AI, is there any point of these things existing in the first instance? Do you know?
So, like, firstly, Corey, I think you just collapsed the entire university system. but, I mean, yeah, so I understand what you're saying there. I mean, I personally feel that, like, a bunch of these things, like essay writing and that kind of stuff, these are methods of analyzing and grading somebody. Obviously, yes, you might write an essay in a newspaper to put a point across. You might, you know, use an essay as a way of like encouraging yourself to research stuff. But ultimately, I think that all of those things can also be If you just take like in the context of like writing an English essay, the purpose of writing the English essay, if you are studying English, is in order to get your grade. You might want to understand English, or you might want to understand a book you're reading, or you might want to understand the sort of patterns of the English language. But you don't have to write an essay to do that. You can do that in other ways. In fact, you might actually be quicker if you're not focusing on doing an essay. You might, like, I'm currently talking to...
Can I just quickly interject in saying that you didn't go to university, or you didn't stay at university, so...
I did.
You didn't stay at university.
I went twice on two different courses, actually. I've got double the experience.
No. You dropped out and made a movie the first time.
And then I studied economics, and I got a first... with distinction.
Congrats. Truly fantastic. But my point is that when you're saying, okay, you're only doing this for the grade, and there are other ways of doing this, and you might learn better doing these other ways, I feel like you're kind of selling short the purpose of essays, because, like, yes, students may feel like they're just doing this essay for the grade in the same way that they're doing a test for the grade, in the same way that if you're doing some kind of science, you might be doing labs for the grade. But I think there are so many other parts of life where the skills of essay writing come into it. I mean, making a YouTube video, for example. There are tons of video essays even. But outside of video essays, just actual, like, just normal YouTube videos. Being able to write something down and make a point. Being able to study something in a structured way to understand it, right? Like, there's more to the idea of essay writing than just writing an essay to be graded. Carry on with your point.
I mean, just to come back on that, what I mean is that, like, when you're talking about essay writing, you are talking about, like, structuring and delivering your understanding or delivering a point that you're trying to make. And all I'm saying is that, number one, that isn't what, like, that's not the thing we were talking about, in the sense that, like, we were talking about if you want to understand English, or if you want to understand science, or if you want to understand economics, it might be that you also separately could benefit from being able to formulate your thoughts in the form of an essay, but you might also benefit from formulating your thoughts in the form of a presentation, or in the form of, like, having a conversation with somebody where you have to demonstrate your understanding. And we don't really do that at university, where your
presentations we definitely do.
Presentations, yes, but having a sat conversation for half an hour where somebody has, like, asks you stuff and you have to explain it, or where you have to explain it to somebody who doesn't understand it, those are very valuable skills that probably you don't do very much at university.
Not an undergrad specifically for the sort of being questioned, but with PhDs, yeah, you kind of do have to defend your,
you have to defend your thesis. Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that, like, the structure of an essay, like, it's a fairly inhuman thing, right, where you sit down and you get an unlimited amount of time to edit your thoughts, and you don't have to actually demonstrate any ability to live explain it. You just have to be able to demonstrate the ability to explain it when you've got a load of time and you can delete loads of stuff. So I'm just saying that that's not like necessarily an objective thing of, like, we must be able to do this. And it's also a separate skill to the skill of understanding the topic that you are claiming to display your understanding of in the essay.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's a related skill, but they're not one and the same. But I think it's still an important skill. I think it's very hard. Education as a concept is very hard because, one, how do you measure someone's knowledge on something? It's a difficult thing to do, right? Mm. Essays are one of the ways that we do that. Presentations are another way that we do that. Just like seminars and things. So, you know, if you have seminars in uni, it's like small groups talking back and forth about a topic. So you do actually do all of these things in university, you know? Essays are just one of them. And I think if you have knowledge and understanding of a topic, then writing an essay on that topic shouldn't necessarily be that difficult. Yes, obviously, you have to learn how to write an essay, and you have to get good at the skill of essay writing, which is a separate skill from understanding your topic. But in the same sense that there are people who are not great at giving presentations, right? And even if they know the topic really, really well, they could struggle with presentations. So you've got to kind of cast a wide net, I think. And I think the idea, like, the sort of idea that essays are exclusively sort of written for a grade is, it kind of ignores how often we see not just, like, sort of essays in and of themselves, but sort of similar skills to essay writing in day-to-day life. My point is more that I think that just outsourcing this sort of stuff to get a grade is kind of it's kind of the problem with education right now, right? It's about the grades. It's not about the topic itself. Because ultimately, if you're into a subject, writing an essay on that subject, I can't think of any subject that I'm interested in wherein writing an essay on that topic would be a problem if it weren't for the greater educational system around it. You know what I mean? Right? Like, I just feel like if you're using ChatGPT to write an essay, it's kind of defeating the purpose of writing an essay, right? It's looking at an essay as something that is just, okay, well, we just need to write things in this way and get them down, and there's no reason that we do that. But the reason that we write essays the way that we do is to structure arguments. It's to it's more structured research. There's structure to the knowledge and understanding, right? And just sort of boiling that down to, here's something I had an AI spit out based on looking at all of these other sort of similar topics. It's kind of hampering. I feel like people generally, not everyone, but people generally would benefit from being able to write an essay. I mean, you and I know very well that there are plenty of people on this planet that aren't very good at conveying their points, that aren't very good at engaging with things that they don't understand, all of these sorts of things. Writing an essay is not going to be the direct cure to bigotry, for example, or to misinformation, or to pseudoscience, but like, those skills are useful skills to have. And they definitely, I think, could help you when faced with like misinformation, pseudoscience, all of these sorts of things. I guess I just don't enjoy the idea that all of these human things that are that some people find tedious because of the sort of education system and other sort of and other things like that. All of these sort of human things that some people find tedious, we are saying, okay, why don't we get AI to do that? Why don't we get AI to do the things that are actually like that no one wants to or needs to do? Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't need to use AI to make movies, because movies are a crazy awesome thing that are good to make and fun to enjoy, right? We shouldn't outsource that creativity to something else. And I think essays do kind of fall under that sort of something that is sort of somewhat creative. Some essays more so than others, but because they fall under that, I'm then like, well, why do we want to outsource that? And if it's just for the grade, then we need to look at why people are doing these things just for the grade, right? And to be fair as well, the fact that it's not great for your sort of, I mean, it says here, withholding LLM tools during early stages might support memory formation. The brain only groups stronger behavioral recall, supported by more robust EEG connectivity, suggests that initial unaided effort promoted durable memory traces, enabling more effective reactivation when LLM tools were introduced later, right? So essentially what that's saying is that like, the people who used their brain only first formed like stronger connections, were more able to recall, were overall kind of smarter on the topic than the people who used large language models first. And I think making ourselves dumber is not necessarily helpful, right? Because there's a difference between, say, using a calculator to do sums and like using a calculator to do the brute force stuff that would take you a while to do it on paper, and using an LLM to just completely write something for you, so you don't need to think about it too deeply, right? With a calculator, you don't necessarily need to know your times tables. You don't necessarily need to know what certain sums are, right? But you can still understand like the fundamentals of maths and just use the calculator as a tool. I think it's much harder to just use AI as a tool when you're outsourcing these sort of more thoughtful activities to it. Do you know what I mean?
Whoa. I've had like so many thoughts along the way and I've forgotten all of them. I should have got an LLM to write them down for me. I do agree with you. Like, I agree with you to a certain extent. I think that what AI is doing is basically, or LLMs are doing, is they are like augmenting a specific set of cognitive abilities that other tools haven't done before. Like, I know for sure that my memory got worse once I had a phone that I can store everything in. Like, I know that happened, right? And you can do studies on that and you can go, oh, look, our memory is getting worse. But ultimately, we still have the phone in our pocket. So, does it matter that our memory is getting worse? I totally agree with you that the process of making an essay may well be good for the person who is forced to do it. But I guess my point is that if somebody doesn't want to learn, if somebody doesn't want to get better at something, if they don't actually care about the learning process, they will have hired an essay writer in the past, or they might have delivered a rubbish essay, or they might have copied a bunch of stuff off the internet. Like, there were loads of other ways to cheat, and it's definitely made it much easier to cheat with AI. I 100% agree with you. But I guess, like, what I'm getting at is that the stuff that when I'm saying, like, putting down an essay is like whatever, it's just to get a grade. What I mean is, if you want to learn to write an essay, then obviously it's not just for the grade, but for the purposes of getting your degree, it is the method through which you obtain the grade, right? You don't get a you don't get a degree in essay writing. You don't get a grade on your ability to essay write. You only get a grade based on, like, the knowledge you have displayed in the topic, obviously through the medium of an essay. And if you have a first in something, everyone will probably assume you're probably quite good at essay writing. But I think that a lot, I don't know whether you underestimate how many people are just doing university for the grade.
I'm well aware. That is part of the problem.
I know, right? People who, like, literally can't remember anything they learned at university, right?
Oh, no. Like, I mean, like, unless you're going in to do that topic, it is unlikely that you're going to remember a lot of what you did at university. Do you know what I mean?
No, but I mean, they can't even remember what type of things they learned. Like, it's literally just blanked out because all they were focused on was getting the grade. And I'm just saying that, like, we have to, like, create a love of learning in people first before we just shove them into a system that goes, do this thing, because otherwise they are just going to find a way to cheat, and they will do this or they will do a different thing.
Yeah.
But I think that the method of analysis of how you grade people, because I had loads talked with my dad about this, because he was a university lecturer until he retired. And he had this problem where all these students were definitely turning in AI essays. And I was just sort of saying to him, well, but, like, you just need to change the method of judging your students. Like, if they had to be locked in a room and they had half a day to write an essay, they'd actually have to understand the topic because they wouldn't have a phone and they wouldn't have a computer. That's an easy problem to solve. The problem is that you give them 4 weeks, 4 months, whatever, to write their essay, and they can cheat because they're not in the room with you. Like, and so if the point is to go, even if the point is also to go, can you write a good essay? You know, can you understand your topic? Can you describe it? Can you explain it? Can you analyze across it? And can you write a good essay? You could do all that as prep for going in the room, and then you could have half a day to write your essay. You could have a day to write your essay. You could have 5 different days where you have 3 hours on each day to write your essay. And you'd still be able to judge, and more objectively, the ability to write essays in a way that doesn't mean you asked your mum to help you and your mum happens to be an author, or you asked ChatGPT, or you bought an essay writing service, or you looked up 50 different words in the dictionary every paragraph you wrote. Like, I just think it's a rubbish method of analysis.
To be fair, I think some exams are sit down and write this essay.
Yeah,
right? Like, I'm pretty sure, well, it was SAT essays, so it was quite literally that kind of essay that they had to write. I don't think we disagree too much on this. I think you've made a really good point with, like, we need to instill a sort of love of learning. I also think it's going to be really hard to instill a love of learning when there's a shortcut, and kind of the concept of education and learning have kind of been poisoned by them existing solely to get a piece of paper that says, I'm smart, so now give me a job with lots of money, you know? Like, there's so many issues to have to deal with. And I think this idea right now, like, just the very concept that that sort of ChatGPT and all of the other similar sort of things can be used in this way, I think that idea being out there is a problem. I think, like, all of these sort of large language models being rushed out as products before they're really ready is part of the problem. But there are so many problems, you know? Who cares at this point? Whatever, let the world burn. Let me read out these two quotes from the sort of study. And then anything else we want to say, we should probably end this episode now, and we could keep everything else for over on Patreon. So I've got these two quotes for you. The LLM undeniably reduced the friction involved in answering participants' questions compared to the search engine. However, this convenience came at a cognitive cost, diminishing users' inclination to critically evaluate the LLM's output or opinions. and that's in quotes their opinions, probabilistic answers based on the training data sets. This highlights a concerning evolution of the echo chamber effect rather than disappearing. It is adapted to shape user exposure through algorithmically curated content. What is ranked as top is ultimately influenced by the priorities of the LLM's shareholders. Don't think there's much you can argue with that, right?
I was going to say, this all comes back to Corey's favorite word.
Not saying it.
Go on. Not go on, say it. The C word, Corey.
Capitalism.
It does, because it does, because it's all the incentives.
Yeah.
Like we talk in LA, in AI, we talk about incentives for the AI. The incentives for the companies are really bad. It's basically make you addicted, bullshit you, be confident even if you don't have any idea.
Yeah, man. And that's like, I mean, I didn't want to say it. It was kind of the elephant in the room there, but capitalism, that's also the problem with education right now. Like, all of these things feed into each other, right? But the final thing from this study that I'll say is we believe that the longitudinal studies are needed in order to understand the long-term impact of the LLMs on the human brain before LLMs are recognized as something that is a net positive for the humans. Now, look, I just want to say this. I don't want to be a sort of Luddite and say AI bad. That's very much not my position. I think AI could be very, very useful. I want it to be good. I want it to be helpful. I just don't think the ways that we're using it right now are necessarily the best. I don't love the idea of outsourcing human thought and creativity to something that just kind of generates its best guess based on the things that it's seen before, right? I don't love that. I think we should find ways to use this that mean that we need to work less so that we can spend more time on these awesome things that we enjoy, right? But instead, what's happening is people are saying, oh, use this to game the system. In the same way that people were saying, use the internet to game the system like 30 years ago, you know, it's all the same thing. It's just this horrible game that we're stuck in. And every new technological leap is used to screw people over and tell some people they can get rich quick. And ultimately,
that's what AI says to me all the time. It's always trying to tell me I can get rich quick. It's not. Don't sue me, Sam Altman.
No. Do sue Luke. No, don't sue Luke. Sue Luke. Don't sue SciGuys.
If you sue me, I'll use ChatGPT to defend me in court.
Oh my God.
So but your like, own actually, child though, will right? kill
can you,
you
imagine
Sam.
That? Can you imagine a world where lawyers are just ChatGPT?
I absolutely can. I think that's like one of the first things to go is because it's logic. It's literally logic and definitions. And I'm not saying being a lawyer is easy, but it's a lot easier to be a lawyer if you have 35 trillion parameters in your brain and every single one of them is law.
Yeah, and it doesn't take you the time that it takes a human person to read through all the sort of precedents that it would take, you know.
And you can just make up precedents and no one can send you to jail.
That's so true, right? You can't be jailed, but also people will probably trust you because you're saying it in a really cool and inviting way.
Put that graphics card in a cell. Lock him in.
My God. Just build a jail around like a server farm.
Isn't that just what a server farm is? Just a jail for graphics cards?
There's a jail for people, and then the prison guards are that. Never mind. Look, let's end this episode. Do you have anything else you want to say before we end this episode?
The only thing I want to say.
We don't have any time, Luke. It's the end of the show. So before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to exec producers Rev Lunar, Glitch Rabbit, and Cody Miller. And thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod.co.uk.
That's SciGuysPod. Pod.co.uk. SciGuysPod.co.uk.
You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere.
And you can follow us both over on Patreon, where we're going to carry on this conversation. Goodbye.
That's a fantastic episode, Corey. And let me list 10 reasons why it's a great episode. But first, it's not just great, it's brilliant.